Today, again, I warmly welcome you guys for Introduction to Corporate Communication. It's going to be our second lecture. I'm going to start with some general information. I actually received information last week that finally we have an e-book available for our course literature, and you should be able to find it from Jukedoc. There shouldn't be any limitations in terms of license. Each one of you should have access to the book. I think you just need to click the link, and the lecture slides are actually available at Moodle. If you click the link, you will also find it from the Moodle course literature section as well. I think you need to log in with your university credentials, with your username and password, and you should then be able to have access for the e-book. This is a good addition. The e-book is the very latest version of the course literature, so the 2023 edition or seventh edition of Kornelissen book. The hard copy that is available at library, you can still use it. It's totally usable if you want to prepare for the exam, but remember that there are only little over 200 hard copies available at the library, so I would suggest you to use the e-book version instead. That's my suggestion. Another general information, so you can actually now register for the exams already in Sisu. So you can choose the exam realization, whether you want to take the exam in November, December, or January. You can choose one of those or all of them if you feel so. And once you have done that, you should be able to register at the exam system for the exam and pick the exact exam date and time. Like I said last time, 30 days advance your preferred exam date and time. So you can already do the Sisu registration, but you have to wait a little while for the exam system so that you can book time from there. Yeah, that's about it in any of the general information I have. Again, if you have any questions concerning how to go through this course, how to do all the exam registration, stuff like that. If you have any questions or concerns, let me know via email. That is the most convenient option in that regard. I think we can go to today's topic. So first, I'm going to talk a little more about how to define corporate communication. I will introduce some of the main concepts around it. And on the second half, I will then talk about more in general how corporate communication is approached in contemporary organizations. And today's lecture content is based on the first and second chapter of the Kornelissen book. Whether it's the latest edition or then, let's say, the 2017 edition, it's still going to be chapters one and two that I'm going to go through today. Like I said last time, when you prepare for the exam, you should definitely read the book because I can't go through every single detail within the lecture slides. And obviously, in the upcoming lectures, we are not totally focusing on the book itself, but for today, the main focus is on the chapters one and two. So again, something to keep in mind when preparing for the exam. I'll also let you know once you are here that if there's going to be a possibility for certain questions coming from the lecture slides, I'll give you a hint every now and then on those. So I hope you'll pay some attention. So what I'm going to go through today on the first half is very basic stuff related to corporate communication. So some scope, some definitions for the key concepts. And I think the main thing here is that you familiarize yourself with the concepts. They more or less differ for the concepts they are using, for example, in the marketing discipline. At the end of the day, there are certain concepts that are pretty much the same, but they are just having different kind of names in our field. And actually, on the second half, I'm going to talk about more the integration between marketing and corporate communication, which is called actually integrated communication in our field. It hopefully give you a little more perspective on that side of things as well. And obviously, I'm going to then end this first half with certain trends around corporate communication, how the field has kind of evolved throughout last 40, 50, or 60 years. Yeah, but I think we can start off with the basic definition of corporate communication and what it actually is. I think Vilma Luoma-aho, she was giving you some definitions already last time, especially through the basic concepts we are using. I'm now going to go through a little bit more on the definition side of things and how you can actually approach corporate communication, because it is not always so easy actually to define what it is. And more often than not, when somebody asks me that what corporate communication is, it might take some time, even though I've been involved in the field for a couple of years already. It's not so easy to define for me either. And I mean, it's completely normal. And this is one of the ways to kind of look how we see corporate communication. So probably first and foremost, we see it as a management function. And what we mean by that is that it actually offers a framework for the effective coordination of all internal and external communication. So in Finnish, it's called sisäinen ja ulkoinen viestintä. You will see these red translations throughout the lecture slides for those of you who mainly prefer using Finnish, for example, in the exam. Also, the idea is that corporate communication, when it offers a framework for this effective coordination of all internal and external communication, the overall purpose is also to establish and maintain favorable reputations. So reputation is one of the key concepts that defines the meaning and the role of corporate communication in organizations. And I think Vilma showed you last time also something related to stakeholders. So obviously the stakeholders are one of the key concepts when we talk about corporate communication. So the management functions that offers a framework tries to maintain and establish favorable reputations also takes into consideration all the stakeholder groups upon which the organization is dependent. So this is also a very important aspect of how to kind of define the whole field. So I will kind of take four key takeouts from the definition. So management, internal and external communication, reputation, how to kind of maintain and establish it, and how to take into consideration the different stakeholder groups the organization is having. And maybe give you a little bit of perspective when I also go through the kind of development of the field, is that you kind of can see this change maybe in the name of the field, but also how it has changed from this more tactical let's say more content-oriented approach towards more of this stakeholder presentation, stakeholder relationship perspective. So in the past, the main focus, like I said, was more on this, tactical, maybe content creation side of things. And there was not much of a focus on how the organization actually presents itself to the key stakeholders, which actually nowadays include both the internal and external. And as you can see, the shift has changed quite drastically in the last couple of decades. I will go more into detail what this actually means in the upcoming slides, but you can kind of get the big picture here on the changes within our field. And why it is also sometimes a bit tricky to define what corporate communication is, because there are so many different names that could actually describe the field. And to make things a bit more, well, if not complicated, at least to give you more perspective once again, how we see corporate communication nowadays. So we have many different kind of specialized disciplines under corporate communication. I think this kind of typology or categorization of these specialized disciplines is actually quite okay. I will explain more these specialized areas in the very last lecture, but once again, you can get some kind of an overview that where you can actually specialize in if you work within the field of corporate communication. Maybe some of these disciplines or these specialized areas are something that you are more familiar with. Maybe you have heard some of them before. I mean, and they kind of are kind of self-explanatory in a way that they kind of tell you what it's all about. If you think about media relations, obviously it's something that the organization needs to deal with media. Nowadays, however, media relations is not only dealing with the traditional media, it also involves dealing with new media arenas, for example, and how to take these media relations into account, for example, in social media. Investor relations, it has more something to do with the business side of things, if it is, for example, a publicly listed company. Then investor relations is one of the key focus areas of corporate communication as well within that organization. Then if the organization is in some kind of a crisis or it's dealing with different kind of difficult issues, it could be so that there are some people that are specialized in issues and crisis management. Then internal communications involves all the internal communication within the organization. So between the, let's say, management board and CEO and employees, that's probably the most... this kind of a simple example of internal communication. Then if we think about branding, stuff like that, corporate design and corporate advertising are quite important then when we want to show how the organization is actually looking, how the publics are seeing the organization, all the consumers, potential customers, how they see our brand, our products and services, how our organization is actually showing themselves for these publics. So then we talk about advertising and design. Then change communications is also important I mean, many organizations, they are facing either minor or major changes at some point. So it is actually crucial to be able to communicate clearly during the time of a change, whether it's employees or if it's customers or consumers. If there are any changes coming up, it's important to also focus on that side of things, and change communications is there to help on that regard. And then public affairs is also something that is one of the more specialized areas of corporate communication. I will also talk about that a bit more in the upcoming last lecture. But again, give you a little bit of perspective of, and overview where we are right now, and why, once again, it's not so clear to define what corporate communication is all about. You have to kind of chop it into little pieces to be able to understand it better. One way, again, to kind of define it also is through the types of activity. So here you can see that it's put in the managerial and more of the tactical types of activity that could kind of explain what corporate communication is all about. So if we take the managerial approach, and once again, we can go back to this slide of definition of management function. So it includes, obviously, planning of communication and coordinating it. If there's a small or big team that actually coordinates the communication or corporate communications functions of the organization, it comes very crucial to do that. And I mean, you hear a lot word strategy. So strategic planning and coordinating is very key when we talk about corporate communication in organizations nowadays. And it's very important to understand also that more and more, you know, counseling the CEOs and senior managers is important task for corporate communication professionals, because the communication strategy is also part of the bigger strategy of an organization. And so that the messages actually flow through the whole organization, it comes important to do the planning, coordination, and counseling properly. Tactical side of things is also important. You have to produce clear messages internally, but also externally. So internally to the employees, for example, and externally to the consumers, potential customers, and every other stakeholder that the organization could have. And of course, disseminating messages in different channels and arenas, whether it's more traditional media arenas or social media platforms, it becomes very, very important to understand the tactical side of things as well, how to create content and create it in a way that is understood in a proper way, whether or not you're going to use more traditional or more recent arenas, such as social media. I already mentioned the complexity. One of the aspects of complexity is this, let's say, if the organization is acting on a global scale, it creates some complexity, obviously, because nowadays, when we talk about communicating, for example, in social media, when we talk about communicating in an organization that has, let's say, many branches or many offices throughout the globe, it creates some complexity. So as a communication professional, it's important, especially when you work in an organization that has offices in many continents, it's not always easy to get all things online and in order. So this is also part of the professionalism to understand the wide variety of geographical ranges, the wide range of services and products that the organization could offer to customers and consumers, and also to understand internally that when the corporate headquarters are located in one country, and if there are various divisions within the country or outside it, and various business units, that you kind of act locally, but then you have to think globally as well. So this is something that also makes it challenging for the corporate communication professional, because you have to understand these realities as well. So it's not always so simple in terms of taking into consideration the one local aspect of things when creating content or when interacting or communicating with the fellow employees of yours. So again, one of the complexity aspects of CC. So and CC here obviously stands for corporate communication, to keep things clear. Okay, that was kind of an overview of the definition and how the corporate communication have evolved over time. I will be a more little in the detail in the upcoming slides in terms of how the whole field has developed in the recent decades. But I think this is a good place now to go through the key concepts of our field. So I kind of defined what corporate communication is about based on the Cornelissen book. And you will also find some of the key concepts of our field from there. And again, in terms of preparing for the exam, I think the upcoming slides are quite crucial for that, so that you can kind of get understanding of how we define different kind of concepts within our field. So it might be so that there are some questions from the upcoming slides also in the exam. And I think we can start off with a mission. So in these upcoming slides, you will always see this kind of a concept and the definition. And then there is this example from British Airways, how they kind of approach all of these concepts. So I hope you can get kind of this generalized understanding how these more or less theoretical concepts actually work in general, in real world. So mission is defined here through this mission statement. And I think one of the ways to translate it to Finnish is toiminta-ajatus. It might be so that there are better translations for this term, but I think you can get the overall understanding what the mission means through this English explanation here. So mission statement is a single sentence or short paragraph that is used by a company or, for example, an organization to explain its core purpose, values, and culture. And as you can see here on the example from the British Airways, they kind of, I think it is more or less two sentences or three, however you want to approach it, where they kind of define their mission. So they always want to be a global airline. And one of the key missions for them is to bring people, places, diverse cultures close together. And they kind of show that they have already done it for more than 100 years. They also introduced to the one of the other missions they have. So they want to serve the community and planet. And they also look forward to share their sustainability initiatives with their customers. So, this is quite a good example of a mission for one organization. It's quite condensed, like I said, a couple sentences. And I think British Airways has done a pretty good job in terms of trying to define the mission in short. So I don't know if I would have been able to do it any better. Probably there are some ways to do it, but like I said, this looks pretty good to my eyes. Then purpose, and there are probably some differences between the mission and purpose. And again, Gordon Lissen is trying to explain the purpose through this purpose statement, where he describes that a purpose statement is a single statement that defines the reason of existence of an organization beyond simply making a profit. So it typically also specifies how the product, service, or any other organizational activities positively contribute to society. So I think the main beef here to take out of purpose is to understand that it's not all about making money, making profit. There are also other aspects when the organization is actually functioning, and they try to kind of contribute to society in a way or another. And I think when we think about British Airways, they kind of already talk about sustainability in their mission. And when we go on the purpose, you can see that they try to kind of make the world better. Is it true sustainability when we talk about these companies such as British Airways, Finnair, any other airline company? I don't know if the sustainability is something that they can accomplish, but at least in their communication, they are trying to do that. And I think that's the main thing here to understand. You can find the word sustainable in the purpose statement as well. And I think that's the main thing here when we look at the purpose statement. Obviously, they talk about creating job opportunities, understanding and taking into account the diversity aspect of things as well. I mean, this kind of explains what British Airways is trying to aim outside of making a profit as well. So as a purpose statement, again, quite good job for BA. Then another concept, a vision. So vision statement, it actually represents the organization's desired future state. So the overall set of aspirations and high-level objectives of the organization. And I think the main thing here to explain the difference between mission and vision and also differentiate it from purpose is to understand that this is kind of a future-oriented approach, where the company would like to be in the foreseeable future. And as you can see, BA is actually offering a pretty nice vision for themselves. So they clearly want to become the undisputed leader in world travel by ensuring that they are the customer's first choice through the delivery of an unbeatable travel experience. So they kind of understand that they are not necessarily the leader at the moment, but that's something they would like to be in the future. And I would say that this is clearly the thing that actually describes their vision quite well. So when we also think about that, can you actually reach the vision you have? They don't necessarily give any reasoning or any ways they can actually achieve this vision. But I think that's not the key here. Vision is more or less something that describes what they want to be. But in the vision, you don't necessarily give any descriptions or any specific details. How are you going to be there and how are you going to reach the vision you are heading into? So that's probably something you should keep in mind when trying to describe vision and if you want to create a vision for an organization as well. Then I think you can kind of see where we are going at. There's mission, there's purpose, there's vision. How does it differ from corporate objectives? All of these are kind of somehow connected to each other, and they have a little bit different kind of description for all of them. So the corporate objectives are actually defined as the statement of overall aims in line with the overall purpose. So what British Airways has done here is that they have been trying to describe that how they want to be a good neighbor, concerned for the community and the environment. So there's this kind of a sustainability, again, written into this corporate objective description. They also want to provide overall superior service. I think they mentioned the service somewhere in the past, or at least you can kind of understand it through the context. They also want to offer good value for money in every market segment in which they compete. And they also want to excel in anticipating and quickly responding to customer needs and competitor activity. So it seems that the objectives for them are a bit more, I don't know, complex, or they go in the many directions in terms of objectives they want to reach. But I think the main thing here is to think about that how in line you think the mission, purpose, vision and objectives actually are for the British Airways. Are they online or are they in going to the same direction, or is there something maybe too much, and can they actually accomplish all of these objectives if you think about how they describe their vision, mission and purpose. Okay. I was telling you that, okay, the British Airways, they didn't show you exactly how they're going to accomplish the vision or the objectives or the purpose. And this is where the strategies actually come into play. So the strategies are actually the ways or means in which the corporate objectives are being achieved and put into effect. So when there's certain strategy that describes your organization, your goals, your objectives, your vision and mission, through the strategy, you can actually be more accurate, more into detail. How are we going to accomplish those? I don't know if they have been able to accomplish that when they describe the strategy. They have a continuing emphasis on consistent quality of customer service. I mean, that was pretty obvious in the past. Past concepts I showed you. Customer-oriented initiatives, yeah. I mean, okay, they show online booking service, strategic alliances, okay, how they're going to actually organize those. I mean, they're not in the detail here. Arrange all the elements of their service so that they collectively generate a particular experience. I mean, they were talking about experience also in the past definitions. building trust with our shareholders, employees, customers, neighbors, and with our critics through commitment to good practice and societal reporting. Pretty good strategy. I would probably need to read a little bit more still. What does it mean when they want to build trust with their shareholders? How they are going to do that actually in practice? How they're going to do trust building with employees, customers, their neighbors, what their neighbors actually are? I don't know. Can an airline have a neighbor? Are they talking about the local neighbors or the neighbors when they act globally? I don't know. What does that mean? They also tell that they want to do it through commitment to good practice and societal reporting. Good practice could include many, many things. So once again, they are not too much in the detail in this strategy description. But I think they are more or less getting into that direction when we talk about strategies. Then I'm going to jump into, once again, kind of key definitions in the corporate communication field. I showed you one of those already, but I would say that identity, image, and reputation and stakeholders are something that you're going to see a lot in corporate communication literature. And if you're more interested, studying our field, you will definitely face identity, image, reputation, and stakeholders more often than not. So corporate identity is actually the profile and values communicated by an organization. So in terms of the identity and how it differs from image, I'm going to explain it in short, but British Airways is trying to show their identity by telling that they are the world's favorite airline. And this corporate identity with its associated brand values of service, quality, innovation, cosmopolitanism, and Britishness is carried through in positioning, design, livery, and communications. So it actually shows how the organization would like themselves to be seen, for the publics, for the different stakeholders, customers, and consumers. And image is actually the view of publics, the view of stakeholders, how they actually see the organization immediately when they see their communication content, if they see the brand of, let's say, British Airways and stuff like that. So it is the immediate set of associations of an individual in response to one or more signals or messages from or about a particular organization at a single point in time. And I think it's very important to understand this at a single point in time, because image is different from the reputation that is actually established over time. So as you can see, image becomes as an immediate set of associations at a single point in time, and reputation is something that is collectively represented throughout the past images of an organization. And this is established over time. And sometimes it's a bit difficult to kind of differentiate the image and reputation, but this single point in time and immediate set of associations is the easiest way to kind of differentiate these two concepts here. Connellisen has given some examples once again through British Airways in terms of the image and reputation. And I think this is something that maybe some customer or previous user of British Airways Airlines has written down. So it kind of gives the immediate set of associations of the British Airways for this particular customer. Here, Cornelissen is actually using some kind of a long-standing supplier of British Airways, so they have a more collective representation of past images established over time concerning BA. So that is the difference here through these examples. I think we already talked about stakeholders in the very first session. Once again, one of the main definitions you can find from the Cornelissen book concerning stakeholders is that they are any group or individual who can affect or is affected by the achievements of the organization's objectives. So this example is actually pretty well describing these different groups of stakeholders that an organization could have. There are employees, consumers, investors and shareholders, community, aviation business and suppliers, government, trade unions, NGOs, and society at large. So NGOs is meaning non-governmental organizations. And I mean, for a company such as British Airways, when we think about their corporate communication, and when we go back to the very first slides I was showing you, it means that if you want to communicate and interact with all your stakeholders, it couldn't be done by one person. I mean, you need a lot of specialized communication teams to do that so that you can actually handle the internal communication with the employees, external communication with consumers, both internal and external communication with investors and shareholders, and so forth. You also have to understand the surrounding environment, the country you are working in. You have to take into consideration the government of the country, all the legal things and stuff like that. It also shapes your communication, at least to some extent. Then there are also trade unions, NGOs, and like I said, society at large also involved in the process. So again, BA have to take all of these into consideration. And like I said, to summarize it, you have to have many teams, many experienced professionals to do that depending on the stakeholder group you are dealing with. And I think there's going to be a couple of slides in terms of key concepts here as well coming up. So, I mean, market is one of the things that is good to know and understand, and how we see it here in the field of corporate communication. So, and maybe understand the difference between stakeholder and market is the key here. So when stakeholder is any group or individual who can affect or is affected by the achievement of the organization's objectives, then the market is more or less this kind of a more condensed and defined group for whom a product is or may be in demand, and for whom an organization creates and maintains products and services. So I would say that when we talk about a market, it is more specified field or certain group of stakeholders that actually creates the market for the organization. That it usually means that you want to sell some products or services within or for this specific market. And it kind of explains the difference between stakeholders and market quite well. And I think, again, the example from BA shows that they have a market, especially for the passengers who search for superior service over and beyond the basic transportation involved, whatever that means when we talk about airlines, but I guess they wanna do things a little better than the others. But that's their market here. Then communication, of course, corporate communication and communication out of that, and how we kind of approach the word communication itself. Again, it could mean many, many things. Here is one of the definitions for that, and I hope you can kind of approach the word communication through this definition that Gordon Lisson is actually offering you. So it involves the tactics and media that are used to communicate with internal and external groups. Instead of groups, again, we can talk about internal and external stakeholders, for example. For some reason, Gordon Lisson has put groups in here. I mean, it's totally fine. It's totally understandable. And British Airways is actually showing you some of the ways to actually communicate. So it could happen through newsletters, promotion packages, consultation forms, advertising campaigns, corporate design and code of conduct, and free publicity. And I think this example shows not only the means of communication, but also the tactics and the available media that could be used to communicate with publics, with different kind of stakeholders. I think one way to kind of add into this mix is obviously talk about these different kind of media. Media arenas, whether we are talking about more traditional media, such as newspapers, radio, television, and then new media environment, more or less digital or online, such as social media, news media with their online outlets, podcasts, video blogs, etc. You know, there are many ways to that could actually go under the umbrella of communication and how to define it and what kind of channels and ways to communicate a certain organization actually uses. Integrated communication, and on the second half of the lecture, I will go more into detail what integrated communication means. Why it is important is because it actually tries to explain especially the differences and similarities between communication or corporate communication and marketing, but also how integrated the communication has to be within an organization. So the definition here is the act of coordinating all communication so that the corporate identity, again, it was defined in one of the slides previously, so that the corporate identity is effectively and consistently communicated to internal and external groups. So as you can see, the key here when we talk about and try to understand what integrated communication means is the coordination of all communications, and it has to be done in a way that the identity is actually consistently staying the same, no matter who are the receivers of that communication or who are the people you are actually interacting with, whether they are internal or the external stakeholders of an organization. And the example through British Airways tries to explain that as well, how they approach their way of organizing the integrated communication approach. So they want to show that their brand value of service, quality innovation, this term cosmopolitanism and Britishness. I think they also mentioned these in past. So they want to organize the communication in a way that this is consistently communicated with all potential stakeholders they have. And they want to be effective on that as well. And I think in terms of clarity of communication, this is a very important aspect to take into consideration. So when there are so many things that you can focus on your communication, there are so many things that a global organization such as British Airways could focus on, it becomes even more important to focus on this integrated approach so that you can actually communicate with one voice and one voice only. And like I said, I will explain more how, let's say, marketing is involved in this integrated communication approach. But I think you can get a pretty good picture here what we mean when we talk about this coordinated efforts of communication throughout all the internal and external groups. I think we can have a little break now. I need to drink a little water so that my voice hopefully lasts until the end of the lecture. So I think it's now 3:08, so I think we can continue 3:15. So you have 7 minutes to have a little break, a chat with your neighbor, and we can continue after that. Okay, I think we can continue the lecture now. So if I'm able to get some silence here, that would be super nice. Thank you. So I'm going to go through next some trends. And with trends, I'm referring how our field has evolved in the last couple of decades. And what are the trends nowadays? So I already go through the definition, some key concepts, and maybe the overall picture of what corporate communication is all about through these definitions. So I hope it's a bit more easier for you to understand the trends that actually defines the field in a more broader perspective nowadays as well. So when we begin in the 1980s, and how the corporate communication was understood back then, once again, the perspective was more or less towards the public relations. And as you can see, there are certain things that were actually quite common when organizations were utilizing communication, whether it was public relations related or anything else. But the main things back then was the restructuring trend in corporate organizations and how actually fragmented the things were. And I think that's one of the keys here, that they started to understand that it was important that each department had something of their own, and the organizations, they were trying to kind of optimize their own performance. And they realized that strategic positioning was needed for stakeholders. And I think this is a key understanding for the organizations so that they can actually fully utilize corporate communication. How they could strategically position themselves in the eyes of stakeholders. And I think the communication is one of the keys here. Mm. And I think, well, probably the main takeout here is that back in 1980s, the things were going more towards the strategic communication, and there was more integration between communications sub-disciplines. which obviously nowadays when I showed you the slide that was way back here is looking like this. Nowadays, it could be that there's something that's not involved here, but anyhow, these eight disciplines pretty much show you the different ways of organizing things nowadays in terms of corporate communication and how you can approach them. So this work started back in the 1980s. And when we approach towards 90s, early 2000s, identity became more important. I was talking to you about identity and reputation also on the key concepts on the last couple of slides. You can also see that corporate branding has become more and more important for the organization. And what it actually means is that the organizations, instead of focusing only on this restructuring and strategically, you know, positioning themselves, it actually became the central thing for them, how they can position themselves with the stakeholders. But when we arrive to the today, you can see that there were some downsides still visible in the late 90s and early 2000s. So there was still, for some reason, this kind of an impression that the stakeholders could be managed or even controlled. There were these models of reputation management, and I think the Finnish translations, maineen hallinta, is actually quite okay in terms of, if I put a trite translation for maineen hallinta, it's more or less controlling the reputation instead of reputation management. But the issue was that you can't actually control the reputation. And when we talk about reputation management nowadays, we actually understand that it can't be controlled because there are so many different aspects, so many stakeholders involved in the communication that it's impossible for organizations to kind of control everything they have, including the message itself, how the receiver actually receives the message, and how it then kind of starts to live its own life. But this was still kind of the downside of the earlier models of corporate communications. And even today, it's important to understand that such outcomes as awareness, attitude, you know, reputational change or change concerning awareness and attitudes, they are still important, but the ways the organizations are trying to approach these are a bit different compared to past couple of decades. And the model of communication is not anymore linear or linear. It's more or less two-way, and it involves many different kind of stages as well. So it's not this kind of a direct flow of message from sender to receiver anymore. And the main thing that, you know, became in the realization and is understood nowadays, obviously, is that the stakeholders are actually active agents, not passive agents or speakers in waiting. They are actively, you know, involved in the process nowadays. And this is more or less, thanks to the development, obviously, from social media, to make it stakeholders easier to become more active, you know, to voice their expectations, to be able to self-organize, and also act as an advocate for an organization, for good and for the bad. So Vilma was actually talking about the faith holders, the fake holders, and hate holders on the first lecture. So this is actually one of the things that is linked to these you know, being able to voice the expectations, self-organizing and advocating. They could be doing it for good by acting as faith holders, or they could act in a way that they create some harm for the organization by acting as hate holders. And I mean, the last 15 to 20 years, there is a big shift towards, you know, understanding that the stakeholders are sharing their experiences, opinions, and ideas about organizations, you know, more publicly than before. There are more people that have access to social media, which means that there are more stakeholders sharing these opinions, but also more stakeholders reading and consuming these opinions that other stakeholders share with them. And I think this is one of the main things to understand in terms of the communication environment that the organizations are nowadays involved and where they have to be able to interact with different stakeholders. And I mean such words as word of mouth or VOM and peer-to-peer influence actually describe quite well the 2000 or 2010s trends, especially in the context of social media. And I think nowadays especially the key concept and key thing to understand, and this is some of the concepts not only in the field of corporate communication, but also in the field of marketing, for example. And it has many different, let's say, sub-meanings for it, but engagement is kind of an umbrella term here. So engagement, I have translated here as osallistamaan kautta sitouttamaan pyrkivä viestintä. So engagement could be understood in a way that it is not merely about sharing opinions and perspectives. Organizations must also be transparent. They have to be able to interact with their stakeholders, and they can only do that by being engaging in a way or another in their communication. So this obviously means that the communication direction has to be both ways. Organization must understand that when the stakeholders interact with them, they also interact with each other, and they have to understand that they can't control everything. So this is a major shift from trying to control or manage the reputation to instead focus on engaging the stakeholders in a proper way so that they actually speak for your favor. They speak in a good way about your organization. So this is kind of the mindset that has to be nowadays when you work as a communication professional. If you don't understand that engagement is the key and you focus only on trying to control the stakeholders, you realize quite quickly that it's not going to be enough. And ways to actually be engaging so that you are working for the favor of your stakeholders and that they actually support you. One of the things to keep in mind that is that you have to be transparent and you have to be authentic. Those are kind of ways for your organization to differentiate yourself from your competitors. Because if the stakeholders, if they can't trust you, if they think that you are not transparent enough, if you lack authenticity, it means that they don't want to be engaged with you, and it could be so that they speak badly about you and become hate holders of your organization. So here is a summary again from the Cornelissen book of the kind of the change that has happened in our field of corporate communication. Even though there is this kind of a line that in the past, the focus was more on the publicity, promotion, and information dissemination, all of those things, they are still part of corporate communication professional, such as positioning as well. So positioning is also important. But what has become the key thing nowadays with the positioning, with the publicity, promotions, and information dissemination is the stakeholder engagement that includes such things as advocacy, transparency, and authenticity, I also mentioned, and interactivity. So by engaging the stakeholders in a proper way, you know, they can become your advocates, they can support you, and they can tell about it to others. And that's important to understand when we talk about proper stakeholder engagement. When your organization is transparent, you communicate in a way that generates authenticity, and when you are able to be in an interaction with your customers or consumers or any stakeholder you have, you are going into the right path. And this kind of a switch in a way we approach corporate communication is also shown on the bottom of this slide. As you can see, the communication is not only a tactical support anymore. It is more a strategic tool for an organization. And this is something also that kind of has changed quite a lot in the last couple of decades. And when we talk about strategic tool, it also means that the communication strategy, it has to support the whole organization strategy in a way, and it has to be a quite big part of that as well. Okay, I'm still going to have another set of slides available for you guys. Let's see how far we can go on this. We can then continue on next time. But as promised, I'm then going through the corporate communication in contemporary organizations, and I'm also going to talk about a little more the integrated communication approach I was showing you in the last couple of slides. So we can go a bit more into detail on that topic as well. Okay, I'll continue very quickly on the historical development of communication. You already saw it on the last slide, but I hope that you will now get a little bit better understanding in terms of the strategic role of corporate communication and what is actually the effective organization of communication in organizations. And how the definition, scope, and organization of communication in organizations is a bit different nowadays than it was in the past. I mean, the main thing is to understand how the communication is actually organized in a contemporary organization in the 2020s. Okay, so integration is term that is used here. And when we talk about integrated communication, it's obviously important to understand that back in the days, marketing and public relations, which was kind of the early phase of corporate communication, they were considered distinct in their objectives and activities. So it was defined that marketing deals with markets. The idea of marketing was sense, serve, and satisfy the customer needs at the profit. And the public relations was only dealing with publics. So we kind of understand this publics term a bit broadly nowadays. So we don't use publics that much because it's not so well describing as stakeholders, even though stakeholders could be also a little bit, well, not so clear at times, but still it involves a lot more, people, a lot more groups of people than just talking about publics. And the idea of PR was to provide goodwill with the public so that they do not interfere with profit making, so they don't, make anything that could, affect the market in a negative way. But later, again, this is quite well attached to the things I showed you in the past couple of slides, is that, the marketing public relations began to develop as an integrated activity, and things started to go towards integrated communication, more or less. So, since 1980s, public relations and marketing, they started to be more or less integrated towards integrated communication, and this was actually pioneered with such scholars as Philip Kotler and I think William Mindak is the other one. And it started to became obvious that, okay, we probably have this kind of an umbrella management function for all of this known as corporate communication. And okay, even though we talk about corporate communication, and it is the umbrella term here, underneath goes such thing as well as integrated communication. And this is, again, one of the models that could be seen in the Cornelissen book, and I think it quite well explains the different stages that the marketing and public relations activities and their overlap has taken in the last couple of decades, and how they eventually became almost the same, if not exactly. And I think there are still certain scholars, probably also in the business school, as you know, we have a different disciplines for marketing. We have different discipline for our corporate communication. But one of the ways to kind of understand this integrated communication approach is to understand the role of marketing in this whole thing. And I think Cornelissen actually quite well describes this integration between marketing and public relations quite well. So, in the past, he's actually telling that rather than seeing marketing and corporate communication as separate, it was recognized that marketing and public relations actually shared some common ground, as you can see here in the figure 2.1. So already in the 1980s, for instance, a concern over the rising costs and decreasing impact of mass media advertising encouraged many companies to examine different means of promoting customer loyalty and of building brand awareness to increase sales. And I think, being able to promote customer loyalty, being able to build brand awareness to increase sales, you also need some aspects of public relations. You need some aspects, what we know nowadays as corporate communication. So, again, Cornelissen writes that companies started to make greater use of marketing public relations. So the publicizing of news and events related to the launch and promotion of products and services. And Cornelissen also writes that marketing public relations, or MPR, involves the use of public relations techniques for marketing purposes, which was found to be a cost-effective tool for generating awareness and brand favorability, and to imbue communication about the organization's brands with credibility. And he also tells that companies such as Starbucks and The Body Shop have consistently used public relations techniques such as free publicity, features in general interest magazines, and community engagement campaigns to attract attention and to establish a brand experience that is backed up by each of the Starbucks and the Body Shop stores. So I think it's pretty obvious nowadays that why it's important to talk about these two fields and, you know, talk about their integration within the organizations as well. But this doesn't necessarily mean that the organization that they couldn't have different units, for example, marketing, and different units for public relations or corporate communications. Because, you know, there are different kind of models to kind of formulate these and organize things within an organization. And even though there is similarities, there are still some differences, and they are not overlapping all the time. So this, again, then supports the reasoning that why do we have different disciplines of marketing and corporate communication also here at the business school. So there are still certain things that are more involved in the field of marketing, more in the field of, let's say, marketing communications and advertising, and there are certain things that are more focused on the public relations side of things. This is actually one of the models that quite well describes all of these differences, but also the similarities and how they can kind of interact with each other within an organization. So you will find for this model more explanation also in the Cornelissen book. So I think if you want to understand more about this, you should definitely look into it when reading the chapters and also when preparing for the exam as well. And yeah, maybe a couple of words still about the drivers for this integration or integrated communication approach. So, okay, we understand that nowadays that internal communication is actually inseparable from external communication. This is one of the key things here. And I also mentioned to you that nowadays there's more demand for greater transparency in organizations. And I mean, it's important to also understand that stakeholder roles overlap. So what it actually means that one of the examples could be that an employee of a certain organization or company could also be a customer of it. So they might work, let's say, in a specific grocery store as an employee, but it could be also that they buy all their grocery and foods from that very same company. Very simple example about that. But it's one of the drivers to understand here as an market and environment-based drivers for this integrated approach. Then there are also, you know, communication-based drivers. So I think it might be so that, you know, utilizing public relations or corporate communication professionals could help in terms of, you know, sorting out the message clutter that is going on. And it's important also to be able to be consistent and to be able to reinforce the core messages. And once again, corporate communication professionals could help and support the marketing team to do that and accomplish this goal. Media and media cost inflation has something to do in terms of communication-based drivers to driving for this integrated approach. And what's also probably connected to the message clutter is this media multiplication. So you have to understand the different aspects of various communication channels, especially nowadays when we don't have just the traditional channels available for organizations to market or advertise their products. You have to understand the environment of social media. You have to understand the power of podcasts, video blogs, you know, all these channels, and you have to be able to interact with people on those channels as well. So once again, corporate communication professionals, good support, the marketing team and vice versa, you know, to interact and also to promote your products and services within these channels and arenas. There are also some organizational drivers that are part of this integration process. So, I mean, the organization, they are all the time looking for ways to be more efficient. And I mean, there is more or less, or well, only more accountability that the organization has to take nowadays. You know, all the sustainable things the organization has to take into account, understand the you know, environment that is surrounding them, not just the nature but also the people, how to kind of do the goodwill for the society. All of these things are taken into account when they try to kind of increase their accountability. You know, they have to be able to provide a good strategic direction and purpose. And I was talking about the strategy. I was talking about purpose when, you know, mentioning one of the key concepts and the early stages of this lecture today. And you can understand that the communication professionals could provide something on that side of things as well. And because there are so many different communication disciplines and sub-disciplines nowadays, I mean, it could help in terms of organizational drivers to understand what kind of professionalism, what kind of special set of skills in terms of communication is needed. And all of these could actually support the integration process and integrated communication approach as well in the organizations. I think I can continue next time from this slide, and I will go more deeply in the organization of corporate communications and how it actually shapes certain organizations. So let's continue next time. Thank you.